So we breached the topic of our next series, which is on the kingdom of God and how important it is to understand the kingdom of God and what the king's domain is when we talk about the kingdom of God, and that there's, you know, the kingdom of this world and there's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and there's like two worlds colliding. And so I want to kind of continue into talking about the kingdom of God and continue to define the kingdom of God for us so that we understand where we are and what our purpose is. Because if you don't understand what your identity is, if you don't understand what you're representing or who you are, then you cannot fulfill any mission of what that kingdom is about. So it's kind of essential to understand the kingdom of God. It's really essential to understand whose kingdom you're a part of and how do we operate within that kingdom and who's, you know, what citizenship we're a part of. We're right now dual citizens. You might be a citizen of a country and a citizen of heaven. And what does that look like when Jesus talks about being born again? All these things I'd love to just cover. And we're going to go on this series for quite a bit because I believe that it's essential for us understanding our mission, which is to help bring the city of Albuquerque to Jesus. And we can't do that if we don't understand that we're what kingdom we're representing and what does that kingdom look like and what does that kingdom sound like and what is that kingdom? All right. So, first of all, we have to understand that God is the first king. The king of glory. The word says the ancient king, which means the first king. He's referred to as the king of kings. He's the first one. And the kingdom that he represents is, Jesus bless that baby. It's my baby. So I can say this. She doesn't cry much, so that's Ruth much, all right. We love you, Rami, okay. I love kids, I don't mind crying. It's always in my house. So I just kinda sort it out there. Oh, there we go, bottle's good, okay, all right. There you go. All right. So he's the first king, what is he king? He's the king of the kingdom of heaven, and the king and kings expand their kingdoms. And so the kingdom of heaven is an invisible kingdom. We cannot see it in this dimension. We cannot see it in the realm that we're living in, but he is the king of heaven. And he's expanded his kingdom when he created heaven and earth. When he created the heavens and the earth, when we say heavens, we mean sky and all that surrounds it. And so he's expanded his kingdom in that way, and he produced children to be kings over the earth. He said, you know, steward the earth, subdue the earth, that we would actually be representations of the character and the culture of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That's why when Jesus says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is a destination from the beginning of time that heaven was always supposed to be represented on earth. And it's an extension of the kingdom of God. It's an extension of the King of Kings. See, all kingdoms have kings and all kings are lords. They must have a constitution, which is laws. Every kingdom has laws. Laws are from the kingdom of heaven are given by his word. When he decrees them, they've become law. They have symbols. They have a body of law, which makes up the kingdom's work. And they also have a body of ethics. See, a king can never be voted in or voted out. A king's authority is his birthright. I hope you see where I'm going with this. Jesus, the Son of God, he's our king, he's our Lord, he's our Savior. You see, when you enter into the kingdom of heaven, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not voting him in. See, we need to like break that democratic democracy type of mindset where it's like, I think I agree with his views. And so because our views align, I think I'm gonna vote you into my life. And this is where we talk about making Jesus a supplement and not our savior. When you make Jesus a supplement, nothing will change in your life. When you make him your savior, then you become a citizen of his kingdom and your whole life changes because now you're serving him in his ways. A king, I said this before, I said it too early, a king's word is law in his kingdom. A king personally owns everything in his kingdom. All the people, all the animals, all the land, all the ocean, everything that's inside that kingdom is actually not the people's, it's actually the king's. He has sovereign rule over it. He can decide who gets what. He can decree a land not to be someone's and give it to someone else. He can take someone else's people and give it to someone else. I mean, this is what's so crazy about a monarchy. And when you think about a kingdom on earth with earthly flesh and corruption and all that stuff, it doesn't seem too appealing. And I think democracy is a better way. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, one who's perfect and pure, and awesome and holy. See, he owns everything in his kingdom, which means he owns you when you're in his kingdom. He owns everything you own because it's his. Let it sink in. I'm letting it sink in. We talked about this last week. So we talked about, and I was talking about this with some men last night, like Maslow's law talks about, a human being, for them to be happy, looks for food and clothes and water and shelter and housing and self-actualization. And what's interesting is Jesus actually condemned all that because he said that the Father knows you need these things and only pagans prioritize these things. See, what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 24 through 34, I'll give you this reference. And I want you to bear with us a little bit because our computer's lagging back there, so sometimes we're gonna try to buy a new one. But it says this, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." This is what Jesus is saying. Now, is Jesus saying you cannot have money? No. What he's saying is when money has you, you will be so miserable because you're going to be trying to live your Christian life, live your godly life while allowing money to own you. See, you can't be owned by two masters. You can't serve two kingdoms. You can't serve two kings. And when money dictates what you do instead of the king dictating what you'll do, you'll always live in a poverty mindset. You'll always live in a thing where it's like, I gotta hoard as much as possible because I never know when I'll get it again because you believe that yourself is what gives you things and not him. So it's so important. This is Jesus saying that you have to let go of everything. Money is a representation of everything because assets are they have value and money assesses the value of those assets. So it doesn't just mean monetary things like, oh, well, you know, I don't mind money, but I just got these amazing vehicles that I just love and adore. It's like, no, that represents money. That can be your master. Not really, like, you know, that's a big thing. I don't know if people, anyway, all right. So what is Jesus saying? He's turning it all upside down because the kingdom of God is upside down. The kingdom of heaven is upside down. I will say this 100 times in this series. The greatest in the kingdom is the least. You want to be the master, you need to serve. You want to be the greatest leader, you need to be the greatest servant. It's upside down. This is all breaking paradigms of a broken world that Jesus was trying to restore. He said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his or her span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. This is where he says the Gentiles were pagans. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day of its own trouble. Wow. Jesus is highlighting this thing where he says, look, if you seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, all these things are gonna be added to you. And now you don't have to worry about what you're gonna wear. You're not gonna have to worry about when that paycheck's coming or if that windfall's gonna happen or if your cars are gonna be okay or whatever, I don't know, you know, or what clothes you're gonna wear. Why? Because it's not a priority in your life. Your priority is the kingdom. Now, why the kingdom? Well, if you wanna know the kingdom, guess what? You have to know the person, the king. The center of a kingdom is the king. If you want to get to know the kingdom, you have to know the king of that kingdom. It's the only way. It's a great model because, you know, it's not a religion. It's not a structure. It's not an organization because those things at the center are laws and bylaws and memberships. But this, the center of a kingdom, is a king. And who's the king? Jesus. Here's a quote. I listen to Dr. Miles Monroe sometimes. He's amazing. If you ever want to read his books, he's really good. And there's a quote he has that of definition of the king, of a kingdom. And I really agree with it. It says this: a kingdom is a governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his purpose and his intention, producing a citizenry of people who express his culture and reflect his nature. A kingdom is an influence of a king over his territory. And what's it mean? It produces a citizenry. Who is that? That's you and I. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become born of the Spirit. We are born again. This is where we get that term. We'll read the scripture about it in a second. And now we are living his kingdom here on earth. And now it affects everything we do. Jesus even says, like, I didn't just come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. Like a religious structure, yes, you definitely need laws, and those laws are holy, and Jesus, you know, God the Father had created those laws for us to follow, but he knew that we would always fall short of those laws because of the brokenness that we had when we sinned, when we covered his glory. And so now, for us to... Now that Jesus has restored our ability to receive him and walk in his kingdom, we can now represent him on earth. And it's no longer about rules, it's about building a culture. It's about knowing what is right and wrong, living by that way. So, like, you know, righteousness is actually I wanna make sure I say this the way I wanna say it. Righteousness is... righteousness is the governing influence, the moral law, the governing law that we live by. It's actually a legal term. It's not a religious term. It's when you are right standing in that government. So it's like if I'm driving down Albuquerque Paseo and that light turns red and I blow it, which never happens in Albuquerque. My goodness, it happens all the time. I actually warn my friends when they come here. I said, look, everything's cool, it's all great. It's just like any other city, except when you stop at that red light, and if you're that first car at that light, when it turns green, look both ways and wait a few seconds because the culture here is to blow those red lights. But the reality is that when you're not following the order of that government, then you are not in right standing with that government. You're out of righteousness. You've broken those laws. To be pursuing his kingdom and his righteousness means like I'm pursuing the king and everything about his kingdom and living according to how the king wants us to live. Then we can be in right standing. And we do that clothed in his righteousness because when we accept Christ, we also put on the righteousness of Christ. He is our righteousness. The kingdom is affected by the mind of a king, not a legislation that decides things, but the will of the king. And what the king desires is what the king manifests. And that's why Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." When it comes to God's nature in the Bible, it's the same word, kabod, it's the same word as glory, the fullness of his glory. Like when we reveal his nature, we're revealing his glory. And the glory, the translation of glory is also the full expression of the full weight of his glory. So God wants us to fill the earth with the fullness of his nature and glory. And that was the call of Adam when he created Adam and Adam and Eve, they're, you know, without sin. And they were expressing the fullness of God, the nature of God, the glory of God. When sin came upon him, that covered up or broke that chain of glory. And that's what Jesus came to fulfill, was to restore God and man. Jesus came fully God, fully man, born of a virgin, born in a manger, right? King of kings, born in a manger, in a barn. He gets lives a sinless life, dies on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So no longer do we have to pay the punishment of sin because Jesus has paid it for us. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He poured out his Holy Spirit so that now we can accept Christ, be grafted into Christ, and we can live as heirs of the kingdom of heaven. We become children of God. This is the gospel story. A religion produces a system. A religion produces a list of rules. But the kingdom produces a culture, a lifestyle that is natural. So it's our culture to love one another. It's our culture to love our enemies. It's our culture that when we need to do something right, we do it. It's our culture because if we want to be generous, we're generous because that's our culture. Because we understand that everything is the king's. And we don't chase after the dollar because we know that it's out of the culture of what the king wants. So we don't worry for anything. The king is present, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This word repent in the Greek is metanoia, which literally means change the way you think. Jesus is saying, hey guys, change the way you think because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whose kingdom? His kingdom. He's now representing the kingdom on earth and he's giving us the kingdom. Luke 17:20-21 says this. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So when people are doing programs and they're like, let's build the kingdom of God together, and it's about buildings and systems and just about money, that's not building the kingdom of God. That's building a building. It doesn't mean we won't need to build a building because this building is leased right now, so we don't know about that. The building has a use, but it's not the reason, right? How do we expand the kingdom of God? We bring more people into the kingdom. You get more citizens to come into the kingdom. You get more citizens to recognize the true Lord and Jesus Christ as their personal savior. That's how you expand the kingdom. So when the kingdom of God, when someone tries to say, look, this is the kingdom of God. This is a beautiful table. I grew up in a time where like the kingdom of God message was so great and was starting to get popularized. And then like some young adults were like, anything that was fancy, they called kingdom. And like, man, those shoes are kingdom. That car, that's legit kingdom, you know? Or, whoa, this house, so kingdom, right? And they warped the meaning of the word, because really, that's not kingdom at all. That's not the kingdom of God's not where you can go, oh, that's kingdom. No, the kingdom of God is within you. It's the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on us. John 3:3-8, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've not become born again, all this will sound a farce to you, sound like this doesn't make a bit of sense, because you've not experienced actually being a part of his kingdom. You've not made him Lord and Savior of your life. So you're still questioning, like, what do you mean you don't worry about money? Of course you need to worry about money. It doesn't mean we don't do things to steward what God's given us, but the reality is we don't worry about money. We shouldn't, because we're a part of his kingdom. Why? Because we're born again. And so we can see his kingdom. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, this act of water baptism, it's beautiful, it's natural. I believe there's supernatural things that happen when we get baptized and when we get born of water through our mother's womb, right? You know, but Jesus is like, you need to be born of the Spirit as well. You need to actually surrender your life. You say, Lord, I've surrendered my life to you. I want to make you, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you're entering into his kingdom. You get life in you again. And that dead man stays dead. That old man dies. And you become what the Bible calls a new creation. Matthew 13:11-17 will end soon. I promise. I know I'm giving a lot of scripture, but there's so much that the word has to say about the kingdom. Before we read the scripture, Jesus gives this parable, and he talks about a man sowing seed in the ground. And he said some seed falls on the top, and the birds just take it away and eat it up. And then he says some seed, when he sows it in the ground, when he throws it in the ground to be planted. That's how they did it back then. They didn't like plant one seed and cover it up and then plant another and cover it up. They actually like plowed the field and then just did this. They had a bag of seed and would just let it fall where it went. So this is why Jesus is using this example. He's saying, look, some seed's gonna be thrown and some birds are just gonna be like, whoop, free seed, and snatch it away. Some seed's gonna fall and be in the shallow soil, and so it'll come up like a little bit of spring, and then the sun, the heat of the sun, because it has no deep roots, will just burn it up. And he says some seed will be falling upon rocks and thorns, and that'll just be choked out, but some seed will be in good soil, and it'll produce 100-fold. And so the disciples, them being his followers, were probably like, Jesus is talking to everybody, and his disciples were probably like, yep, that's right, mm-hmm, yep, that's right, Jesus. Preach it all, Jesus, you got it. And then when they went in private, they said, how come you speak in parables? Why do you always talk about stories? Why don't you just tell them like it is? Tell it to them straight. And then Jesus says this, and he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. What is Jesus talking about? For one who has what? Secrets of the kingdom. Come on, theologians, come on, here we go. So to one who's been revealed the things of the kingdom of heaven, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus said, if you don't have it, you're not going to be given more. It's not like you're going to be able to multiply what you don't have. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. You know, it's like if you don't want to see the kingdom, you won't see the kingdom. If you don't want to hear the kingdom, you're not going to hear the kingdom. If you mock the kingdom, it's going to be hidden from you. But to those who want to seek the kingdom, to those who have ears to hear, to those who are like, Jesus, I want to see. Will you show me what it means to be a follower of yours? Would you show me what it means to be a son or a daughter of yours? To you, much will be given. For indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. This is what Jesus is saying. But if they would turn and see and hear, if they would seek his kingdom and his righteousness, Jesus will reveal it. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Here's what's amazing, is that we are living in a day where we now can see and hear and understand. We know even more than the disciples did at that point, right? Because they actually were still walking with Jesus, and there were still a lot of things that had to unfold until that moment. But now we understand the fullness of why Jesus came, to rescue us from our separation from the Father. See, the enemy doesn't want you to understand the secrets of the kingdom. What does the bird represent? The attacks of the wild one, right? The birds of the air. The enemy wants to rob that seed. What's the seed? The kingdom of heaven. So seeds are going to be planted today, and some of you are just going to be like, it's like, that's like two, the enemy is just going to put a spirit of slumber on you. You're not going to hear anything today. Or maybe you're just, your heart is too hard right now. You have a heart of stone. You've denied Christ so much, you've maybe just said, I can't believe this, or there's so much blocking you, that your heart's not what the Bible calls a heart of flesh. And if that's the case, this is the prayer I pray. Oh God, soften my heart so that whatever's planted would grow. As your word says, God, take this heart of stone, give me a heart of flesh. Jesus talks about the sun being the cares of the world. So some people are going to receive this word, be like, woohoo, kingdom of God, I love it. I'm going to take that. I love that stuff. I'm going to take it. But and then you walk out these doors and you're like, man, those cares of the world, though, I got to care. I still got to worry. And the worry and the cares of the world burn it all up. And no fruit's produced because it was just a word that went in and went out. The reality is that Jesus wants the kingdom of God, that seed, that word, to fall in good soil. He goes on three or four more parables. We don't have time for this, but three or four more parables describing the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven just in this chapter. And my call to us right now is, one, I think we need a paradigm change in our mind. Some of us don't realize that we're actually representing a king in his kingdom right now. You've given your life to Jesus, but you still lived the way you wanted to live. And you still kind of conform to the way society tells you to live. And so he's in your heart, but you're not living according to what he's told you to, what his kingdom has supposed to produce in you. I've been there. I do. Sometimes I got to get myself back there. I'm like, what? I'm a citizen of heaven. And so I got to think like heaven. I can't not share my love. I have to share my love. I have to love one another. Jesus says that the world will know us by our love for one another. If we're not loving one another, we're not living according to a kingdom principle, a kingdom concept, a kingdom culture. And if we don't love one another well, then that means that we're living according to an old worldly standard. Maybe that's conditional love, where it's like, I love people who love me. Right? Even pagans do that. Unbelievers do that. That's not a thing. Jesus even goes this far. He says, love your enemies. Ha! Crazy. It is so hard to love your enemy. Like, have you ever had a true enemy? Like, people who are just like, they're mean to you for no reason. You have no idea why they're so mean, but it gets you so ruffled because they talk about you behind your back. They're, you know, they'll say hi to everybody but you. They'll do things that, you know, you're just like, what is going on? Maybe it's a neighbor that's become your enemy. I don't know. You know, like, I've seen neighbor wars, man. It's crazy. But Jesus says, love them. Why? Because you're not representing this kingdom, you're representing his kingdom. And it's our job to bring kingdom of heaven to earth. How do we do that? By representing who and what our king wants. And that's how we live a kingdom lifestyle. Some of you might be like, well, I've heard of this kingdom. I've been, you know, I've heard of Jesus. I like everything that's going on, but I've not actually made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I've not even understood this concept that I am now a new creation and Jesus will actually take away and forgive you of all your sins and make you a new creation and give you a new paradigm by which you live, and you can live a new lifestyle free of all the worldly, fleshly desires and actually live selflessly according to him. And feel the biggest joy and peace and love that you've ever felt in your whole life. That's what it means when you come to Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior. You come to him and you say, God, I am so sorry for all that I've done. Forgive me of every sin. What is a sin? It's a wrongdoing. It's going against his principles, his words, his laws. And you're saying, God, I am sorry that I did that. And I don't want to do that anymore. Would you just forgive me, God? And Lord, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to live in your kingdom. I want you to be my king. I bow my knee to you. That's my life. If you've never done that, man or woman, doing that will change you. I know, I'm trying to be, you know, inclusive people. It's so important. And when we talk about expanding his kingdom, and I'll just wrap up with this. When we talk about expanding his kingdom in the city of Albuquerque, we're actually talking about taking the kingdom that we have and the king we know and sharing it with everyone we know out there. Our friends, our family members, our coworkers, and sometimes even strangers, and tell them, hey, this is whose king I serve and this is what he can do for you. And this is an amazing thing. It's not just having eternal life. It's actually having a life worth living now. There's a reason why suicide is like the greatest it's ever been. And depression is the highest it's ever been. Why? Because people will worry about food, money, shelter, clothing, self-actualization, all that stuff. And even when they achieve it, they find it doesn't fulfill them. Why? Because they were never made to go after those things in the first place. If you actually seek his kingdom and the king and his righteousness, his ways of doing things, then all those things are added anyway. Why don't you stand? I want to give two altar calls. I know we did baptisms today, and some of you might be like, that looked cool. I wonder what that was all about. Well, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you do accept Christ, not if, when you do, just a little prophetic boom, you're going to make a public declaration as well like that. But I want to give two altar calls. What is an altar call? It's a time where you actually make a public declaration and come forward. Just like you saw some people make a public declaration. Now, I want to just say one thing that is a lie from the pit of hell. And it's a lie that gets even Christians. It's this. It's called shame. It's that if people know what I've done, where I'm from, or what I've been doing, then everyone will abandon me. That's called shame. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Why? Because the reality is, when you do come forward, you do confess your sins, you know, to the Lord, everyone comes around you and celebrates you and wants to be with you. See, the enemy tries to isolate you, make you alone, and let you die alone. Don't listen to him. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your life back to Jesus if you took it back yourself, and let him make you whole. And we're all gonna cheer about it. We don't even care what you did. We literally don't care what you did. I mean, we hope you didn't hurt anyone, but, and we'll help those people who you hurt. But if you really give your life back to Jesus, it says this, you've become a new creation. So I want us to close our eyes, not because I don't want you to look around. I don't care if you look around, but I just want it to be something between you and the Lord, personal. The first call is this. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ before, you've never made him the king of your life, and you're now ready. You're thinking, no, it's been a while. I've been hearing this. Maybe it's the first time you heard about it, and you want to truly surrender your life and live in this new kingdom. I just want you to raise your hand real high so I could see it. Okay, I see your hand, you can put it down. Are you stretching or is that your hand back there? Okay. Anyone else? I'm just gonna wait. Holy Spirit might be knocking on the door of your heart. If your heart's beating really fast right now, if you're like, why is he talking about me? Why is he talking about me? Why is he talking about me? It's not me. I have no idea who knows the Lord, who doesn't. Just lift your hand up, because it's the Lord saying, I want you to give you my life. I've been after you your whole life. I want you to give it. So I'm just gonna wait another second. Anyone else wanna give their heart to Jesus? Okay, I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. My next call is this. You accepted Christ in your life and you've been coming to church and not coming to church, but your life has no fruit because the cares of this world, the thorns, the rocks have been choking everything out. You've not actually been living a kingdom life. You're no longer serving the king, but now you want to serve him. You want to rededicate your life back to Jesus and say, I want to serve in this kingdom. I just want you to raise your hand, give you an opportunity to give your life back to God. Okay, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I see your hand. Okay. Anyone else? Before we close. All right. I want to invite those who raise their hand to come forward right now. Just come forward. Come on. Come on, let's celebrate what Jesus is doing. Just come forward. That was you. Just come all the way up. Don't let shame bind you. This is a time to live for him and his kingdom. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, I'm gonna ask the pastors to come and just pray with them, okay? Personally work with them and lead them to Jesus. All right, I wanna pray for all of us as a church. Father, I just thank you that you created your kingdom that we can live in. Lord, I pray that you would use us, God, that we would be representatives of your kingdom, that we would live by your rule, by your reign, by your righteousness. Jesus, I just pray that you would empower every believer here right now and that they would understand all the things that you've called them to and that they would go out into this world being a good representation of what your kingdom represents. Lord, bless them. May your peace be with them. May your face shine upon them. God, may you guide every word they say and every step they take. Lord, I bless them in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, give it up for the Lord. We wanna invite, if I can invite any additional elders or pastors or some ministry members, we wanna pray for anyone who's sick in their body. They need healing, they need breakthrough in their finances, anything like that. I wanna invite you to come up. We wanna pray for you, okay? Other than that, bless you guys, have a great week. We will see you next week, July 2nd.